Let's read together this morning Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58. We read this in connection with Lord's Day 38 of the Heidelberg Catechism on the fourth commandment of God's law, and take note especially of the last two verses of this chapter, which speak specifically of the Sabbath day. The Word of God at Isaiah 58. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask me of the ordinances of justice, they take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Then shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So far we read the inspired Word of God. It's on the basis of that passage and in harmony with all of the Word of God that we have the instruction of the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 38. Lord's Day 38, question and answer 103. What doth God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel in the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God to hear His word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor, as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works, and yield myself to the Lord, to work by His Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, do you as an individual and as families and together do we as a congregation take joy and delight in this day, the Sabbath day? That's the question that we face this morning as believers. It's not just simply a matter of doing the will of God on the Sabbath day. But the Sabbath day is to be a day of joy, delight, pleasure in the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that He has accomplished on our behalf. That's what we face this morning as we consider Lord's Day 38 on the fourth commandment in harmony with Isaiah chapter 58. You notice that when we read Isaiah 58, and I pointed out especially those last two verses, what these verses teach us is that there is joy and delight in the Lord of the Sabbath. And that joy and delight in the Sabbath day always comes in and through not doing our own will, not speaking our own words, not doing our own pleasures, but instead doing the will of God on this day. We truly will find joy and delight in this day when we, as we are called to in the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day. That's the word of God to us this morning, that commandment itself, remember the Sabbath day. The two points of the sermon will be these. In the first place, the idea of the Sabbath. And then in the second place, delighting in the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day, the idea of the Sabbath, and then remember the Sabbath. The idea of the Sabbath, and then delighting in the Sabbath. We need to understand what Sabbath means. If someone were to come up to you and ask that question, what does the word Sabbath day mean? Would you be able to give a good answer to that question? We need to be able to answer that question because this is such an important day in our lives. We call this Sunday, we call this the Lord's Day, but this is the New Testament Sabbath day. We need to know what that word Sabbath means and what that means as it relates to what we actually do on this day that God has given to us. The word Sabbath literally means rest. Whenever you read of Sabbath in the Scriptures, as we did in Isaiah chapter 58. The word that needs to come to mind right away is that word of rest. And that's something that comes through in Exodus chapter 20 in the commandment itself. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, and so forth. And then verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. What Exodus 20 does for us, and it's giving the law to us, is point us to the creation week. That's the basis of the fourth commandment of God's law. And it's the basis for this idea of rest as well. And so if we want to understand what rest is all about, Sabbath rest, we need to go to what Exodus 20 in its giving of the fourth commandment does and point us to the creation week. What God did was rest on the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week. Question is, what is that rest all about? What God did was create everything in the first 6 days. On day one, He called into existence all of the material out of which this world is formed. And then on days 2 through 6, He continued to create that by forming all things into the way that they were in that original creation. And throughout that week, there was progression so that finally on that 6th day of the week, He created animals and then He crowned the creation with the creation of Adam and Eve. And then what did He say? He said at the end of Genesis chapter 1, it is good. Notice that. Genesis 1, verse 31. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And then that leads into what we read in the beginning of chapter 2, the first three verses. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God had created and made. So He saw it all, and it was good. And then the next verses say it was finished, and He rested. And that gets us to the heart of what biblical rest is all about. Rest is enjoying a perfected and completed work. Taking delight in this completed work. That's what God did on that seventh day, that first Sabbath day that He instituted in that creation week. We don't usually use the word rest that way. When we hear the word rest, and in the way that we use it, usually it refers to inactivity. I rested in the afternoon. Usually what we mean by that is I took a nap. I didn't do anything. But that emphatically is not the idea of rest in Scripture. And that's evident from what we read in Genesis 2, 1 through 3. God had just created everything, and it was good. Now we lose sight of that sometimes, because we only know one thing. We know this creation as it is under the curse and as it experiences the effects of sin. Yes, we can go outside and we can look around us and we see the glory of God still in that creation, but it's not perfect anymore. It has in it the effects of sin. But that wasn't the case in that first creation week. He created it all, man included, prior to His fall, and He said, it's good, it's complete, it's perfect. And then He rested, which means that on that seventh day, He took joy, pleasure, and delight in that finished work that He accomplished. That gets us to the heart of what this day is all about for us. It's the day of rest. Meaning, it is a day in which we enjoy a completed work. And now we ask the question, what is that completed work that we enjoy? And we know what that is, of course. It's the completed work of Jesus Christ to deliver us from our sins. There is always a parallel between God's work of creating all at the beginning in the first 6 days and God's work of recreating us, His people, in Jesus Christ. And here's a powerful parallel. The finished work that we enjoy is that of our deliverance from Jesus, by Jesus. And that's made explicit in the other giving of the law in the Scriptures, which is found in Deuteronomy chapter 5. We read together Exodus 20 this morning, and I reread the fourth commandment. And that gives us the basis of the fourth commandment, which is the creation week. But Deuteronomy 5 looks at it a little bit differently. This is the fourth commandment in Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 and following. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, and so forth. And then verse 15. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. So what is it that we are to enjoy and remember on the Sabbath day? It's God's work to deliver us. God says, remember what I did for you when you were in Egypt. When you were experiencing that bondage and slavery in Egypt, I delivered you from that and I brought you through the wilderness. But then I didn't leave you in the wilderness. I brought you eventually into the land of Canaan. And now as the New Testament church, we don't remember that as we would remember some other history, just as events that took place in this world. We remember that as for what it is, the gospel. That's what that history is. It's the teaching by the picture in the Old Testament of what God does for you and for me. Under the bondage and slavery of sin, God delivers us and brings us through the wilderness of this world and will bring us into the heavenly Canaan one day. It's our salvation. And what we need to emphasize this morning is the completed nature of that work. God, in the beginning, rested after He had finished the work. It was perfect. It was done. We enjoy that finished work of Jesus Christ. It's finished in the sense that what was needed for God to bring us into His family, and what was needed for God to live with us into eternity, has been accomplished perfectly. And that is the work of Jesus Christ. He came to this earth and He fulfilled all righteousness. Meaning, when He was on this earth and when He was especially on that cross, He loved God with all His heart, mind, soul, and strength perfectly. And while He was on that cross, He paid for your sins and mine, fully satisfying the justice of God so that He could say on that cross, "It is finished." And that imputed, or that work of God, or Jesus Christ, is then imputed to you and me, so that in Jesus Christ, God sees us as righteous. And God, therefore, gives us that salvation now, and must, therefore, bring us into eternity and live with Him forever. It's finished. And that's what the Sabbath day is all about. God says, "I set aside one day out of seven." For us today as the New Testament church, the Sabbath day is the first day of the week. And He says, rest. Don't work. Rest. Rest by remembering and enjoying and taking delight in that perfect work of Jesus Christ. The emphasis of Isaiah chapter 58 and the sermon this morning is on the fact that we are to delight in that day. That's what Isaiah 58 calls our attention to. "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor Him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord." It's a long sentence there, but we need to see the main idea of it. The main idea is this: if you don't do your own will and your own pleasure on the Sabbath day, then you will delight in the Lord. We're going to enjoy the perfected work of Jesus Christ for us. We need to do the Lord's will on this day. And we are not to do our pleasure or our will on this day. That was needed for Judah in the Old Testament. And that's certainly needed for us today. We live in a world in which the Sabbath day is desecrated. And the desecration of the Sabbath day comes down to this very basic question: whose will are you doing on the Sabbath day? Are you doing what you want to do and what I want to do on this day, or are we doing what God wants us to do and God calls us to do on this day? And what we learned from the Word of God this morning is that we must do the latter. And in the way of doing the latter, we truly find joy and delight in this work of Jesus Christ. We need to not be legalistic as it relates to our observance of the Sabbath day. It's always a danger when it comes to talking about preaching on, hearing a sermon on the fourth commandment of God's law, that it simply becomes a matter of do this, don't do that, and it becomes law after law, precept after precept on this day. We need to be careful that that isn't the way that we think about the Sabbath day. And the way to guard against that is to remember that we have freedom in Jesus Christ. There is liberty in Jesus Christ. Freedom to serve Jesus Christ, to love the Lord, and to serve Him as we see best on this day. But what we need to guard ourselves against is using that liberty that we have in Jesus as a license to do what we want to do on this day. We can never do that. We can never say, I'm free in Christ, and then use that as an excuse in the end, not to just not make law after law, but to do what we want to do. And that's why we need to remember Isaiah 58. In the context of our liberty in Christ, as it relates to the fourth commandment, we need to ask ourselves the question, is what I am doing on this day my pleasure or the Lord's will? And when you face that question for yourself and for your family, so much else gets sorted out. Is it my pleasure or is it the Lord's will? And yes, we do need to make some laws. We need to lay some groundwork for our children. They need to understand that this day is different. But always that needs to be our focus. You have to ask the very basic question, and each of us needs to do that this morning. And this has a way of really getting to the heart of it all. Beloved, whose day is it? Whose day is this day? That really has a way of striking home to us what we are called to do on this day. It's not ours, but it's the Lord's. In Isaiah 58, in the midst of talking about what to do and not to do, and the delight of this, says this, turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable. Very explicitly, it's my day. And if we have that in the forefront of our minds, that this day, from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed, is the Lord's day. And that's the value of using that term to describe this day. It's God's. Every day is God's. But He sanctified this one. He set aside this one in a special way and says it's mine. And now from that, what follows? It's this. Don't do your pleasure. Don't do my pleasure. Do His will. And this is where it becomes very, very real for us in our everyday life on this day. This is where it becomes very practical. What's forbidden is the things mentioned in Isaiah 58. From doing thy pleasure on my holy day, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thy own words. I don't want to call attention to this, but this is difficult to preach right now. Mr. Dykstra is sitting in the back there and looks like he's going to be taken away on a stretcher by an EMT. Not sure how long this is going to take, but let's sing together right now. Shirley, can you play just while this happens, and then we'll come back to the sermon. Let's sing Psalter number 55. Three stanzas of 55. He's okay. His heart was racing, but it's stable again. They're going to do a little work on him back there and not take him away right now. So we're going to continue in the sermon. I just got done making the point that the day is the Lord's, and the fact that it's God's day influences what we do on this day. It's not our day, it's the Lord's day. And that's made explicit in Isaiah 58. And so now we ask the very basic question of what do we do? What do we not do on this day? And this is where it becomes quite a bit more practical in our lives. What is forbidden on this day? It's all of those things mentioned in Isaiah 58. And what it really comes down to is doing what we want to do on this day. One of the things that certainly is forbidden on the Sabbath day is work. That would fall under the category of doing our pleasure or our will or speaking our words on this Sabbath day. And that obviously is made explicit in the fourth commandment itself. 6 days God gives us to work. The seventh day, now the first day of the week, is a day of rest. Do not work, God says. And so we need to be reminded of the importance of not working on the Sabbath day. And that applies to all of us, whatever our work may be. For you who are mothers, your work is being a keeper of your home. And so there are things that you as a keeper of the home need to stay away from on this Lord's Day that would fall under this category of work. Now there are things you must do, works of necessity. But as it relates to the things that you work to do to care for your home, it's a day of rest. What it means is it's not a day to wash the windows, not a day to vacuum the carpet, not a day to clean the toilets. We wouldn't think about doing all of that work on the exterior of our house on the Sabbath day, the yard work that mostly probably we as fathers do. Why would it be any different for the interior as mothers? When that is a main work that we do, it's not appropriate for the Lord's Day. Certainly us as fathers and those who are called to work a normal job need to be reminded of the calling not to work on the Sabbath day. That's a temptation for us, especially with certain types of jobs where all it takes is being on a computer and you can do some of that work. You can answer the emails. You can read the emails. You can anticipate the week to come. And you don't even have to leave the comfort of your own living room and you have your computer before you. Don't work, God says, on the Sabbath day. Children, applies to you too and young people as well. You ask the question, what is your work right now? And your work is school. And so then you have to ask the question, can you do that type of work on the Lord's Day? And apart from the work that your teachers give you that gets you into the Word of God so that you're meditating upon this work of Jesus Christ that we talked about, you must stay away from that. And if that means that you spend Saturday, which normally is a day off, to get your schoolwork done so that you don't have to do it on the Lord's Day, you do that. The name of what your teachers give you is telling, isn't it? What's it called? Homework. And for students, that's your job. And not, therefore, something that God would want us to do on this day. So thou shalt not work, God says, on this day. Remember the Sabbath day. Furthermore, we can look at these verses and especially that idea of pleasure. Do your pleasure on this day that is written against in Isaiah 58. And then the applications become many for us. When I read Isaiah 58 and it talks about doing thine own pleasure, the first thing that I think of is entertainment. We live in a society that is crazed by entertainment. So much of it is illegitimate and abominable in its own right and should be refrained from every day of the week. But there are things that we can enjoy as Christians. The issue is not the TV itself, but what's the purpose of that TV with things that may be legitimate to watch? It's the fact that it's entertainment, it's pleasure, it's doing what you want to do for a time when in limited amounts is a legitimate thing for a Christian to do. But the point of that is pleasure, your pleasure. And therefore, it falls under this category in Isaiah chapter 58. To take that a step further, it's not just the TV itself. It's the fact that we have all of these devices, phones, tablets, computers, surrounding us in our houses day after day after day. It would probably be a very good practice on the Sabbath day to say, none of it. Don't use it. Stay away from it. But I wouldn't say that as a hard and fast rule, obviously, because it can be used for good. It can be used for spiritual edifying things. It can be used for the purpose of what the Sabbath day is all about, remembering the work of Jesus Christ. They can be used to listen to edifying music, to read good literature, to listen to sermons, to watch sermons if you're a mother or a father who has to stay home with children. But when you're sitting there in the afternoon or you're sitting there at night, it takes a whole lot of discipline and it takes spiritual strength when that whole other realm out there that falls under doing your will and your pleasure is literally one click away or one swipe away or one search away. Because all of the internet surfing, all of the reading articles about sports, all of the shopping. Yeah, we don't go to the store, but Amazon is still there and eBay is still there on the Sabbath day. All of that is one click away. It takes tremendous discipline to use those devices for good on the Sabbath day, but not take it to the point where it becomes pleasure in your own will and takes away from, and this is the point, takes away from the purpose of the day, which is rest. So you have to ask yourself the question, on this Sabbath day, am I doing my own pleasure, my own will, or the Lord's? And all of that leads us to see the positive, which is doing the Lord's will on this day. And that's Isaiah chapter 58, and that's Lord's Day 38. Much of Lord's Day 38 involves the positive of what we are called to do in remembering the Sabbath day. There are other things that we're not going to get into today. The first part about the schools, the last part about enjoying every day a foretaste of that eternal Sabbath, because you understand why that would be the case. We rest every day in Jesus Christ. Come unto me, Jesus says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's every day. And we experience that by, as the Catechism says, ceasing from our evil works and doing the Lord's will. That's every day. But much of Lord's Day 38 involves a positive explanation of what we are called to do on this day. And the heart of it is worship. God says, don't do your own pleasure, your own will. Speak your own words. Do mine. And this is my will for you especially. And that's what the Catechism explains. Diligently frequent the house of God. Call upon His name in prayer. Hear the Word of God proclaimed. Administer the sacraments. Give of our gifts. Sing as we have just done. That's remembering the Sabbath day. And now we need to understand that in light of the first point. The idea of the Sabbath. Delighting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. What better way than here in God's house? For here in God's house, we experience the essence of our salvation. We experience fellowship with God, which is the heart of it all. And we have here in God's house the Word of God proclaimed to us in such a way that that Christ who accomplished that work is proclaimed to us week after week. And we experience through that finished work. We revel in, here in God's house, our life with God and our salvation in Jesus Christ. Catechism uses that very good language. Diligently frequent the house of God. God has given us the ability as a church to come together twice on the Lord's Day. In the morning and in the afternoon. If we are going to diligently frequent as us, as a congregation for us, that means we come to the Lord's house twice as we are able. But what a beautiful way to spend the Sabbath day. And this really was driven home to me a couple months ago or a few weeks ago when we had church canceled in the evening because of the weather. We can be so thankful that God has given us two worship services from a very practical point of view. It facilitates remembering Jesus Christ in such a good way. You wake up in the morning and you prepare yourself to come here at 9 o'clock. We spend a few hours together in worship and fellowship, and we go home. We eat together. And we don't have, really, when it comes down to it, very much time. Maybe a brief nap to refresh ourselves for the evening. Spending time in the Word of God, reading or singing. And then we're right back here for a couple more hours and a little bit more fellowship. And we do the same thing after church at night. Because we have these two worship services in the morning and the afternoon, we are able to structure our day in such a way that we truly do, from the beginning to the end, remember the Sabbath day. And that was so evident the other day when we didn't have the opportunity to come to church together at night. It becomes a long day, and the temptations become even stronger to abandon this and do your will and your pleasure instead of God's on this day. And then what about the times in between when we're not in the house of God? Then it becomes hard. But then we go back to that question, am I doing my pleasure or God's? And may God work in us a desire to spend the day busy in His thing, in the things of His kingdom. A desire to read. A desire to talk about the works of God. And even in our fellowship together, let's be careful when we get together on the Lord's Day that the nature of our get-togethers are different than they are on a Friday night. They should be different. Let's try to structure our conversations around the things of God so that we experience even more in our fellowship together what God has done for us. And in the way of doing that, beloved, there's delight. There's delight in always doing God's commandments. One of the greatest lies of the devil that he tempts us with is that there's true joy and delight in doing your own will. Never is that the case. True joy, true delight is doing God's will. That's true for all of the commandments. It's especially true for this commandment. If we remember the Sabbath day, we experience that rest day on every day, but especially this Lord's Day. We have delight. It's our greatest delight, beloved. It's not the things of this earth. It's not your hobbies. It's not sports. It's not surfing the internet. It's not just getting together and yucking it up together. It's this, that we can confess, as we do in Lord's Day 1, that in body and in soul, I belong to Jesus. It's everything. Doesn't matter what our circumstances are. Doesn't matter what we're going through. It doesn't matter how heavy the burden is. If we can say that, and we can by faith, I belong in body and soul, in life and in death, to Jesus. You say that, you have everything. Let that be our joy. Let that be our delight. And let us on this Sabbath day, from the beginning to the end, fill it with reveling in and meditating upon that great work of God in Jesus. And may God, through that, give us delight, true joy, true delight in this Sabbath day. Amen.